You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. Don't look now, but the holidays are going to sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic, so they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Zabe Cast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Wednesday, November 5th, 2025. Thank you for downloading. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Paul Churchin will join me in a load-managed appearance. I know you're already saying, boo, he's my favorite. I'll give you about 26 minutes of charge here coming up in just a second. But I got to him late because I was trying to get back from a wonderful day of golf at the fabulous Caves Valley Golf Club in Owings Mills, Maryland, where they once held the last year held the BMW Championship, part of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Playoffs? And had a wonderful day. Danny Frank, who is America's host, was kind enough to have me out there. It's his club that he is a member of. And he brought along a guy by the name of Troy Wainwright. Now, Troy has been an ops guy and has been sort of Gary Williams' right-hand man at Maryland for many, many years. He's now in charge of fundraising at Maryland for the athletic department, or not in charge of it per se, but he's big time there in terms of getting the money. And I got to tell you, I had the most fascinating fairway chat with him on a number of holes as we walked and played and when he had caddies. And this is the way to play golf. If you can, I know it's expensive and you got to belong. You'll be invited to a nice private club that has full-time caddies, but there is nothing quite like strolling fairways and greens without carrying your bag, getting to talk to people that you might be meeting for the first time. Interesting people, people that are in your industry or adjacent to your industry, just to sort of pick their brains. There comes a sort of a relaxed truth-telling element of being out there in nature and in the, you know, confined to the fairways. Of course, now you're going to say, well, Zabe, I'm hoping that Troy did not really tell you anything because you're the worst security risk there is. You'll just go right to the podcast and blah, blah, blah. And trust me, I will not betray any secrets. I think he would admit to all of this publicly. He said, look, it's crazy. It's crazy the amount of money that is now required to run collegiate athletics. And he is not opposed to, in theory, the players, or in principle, I should say, not theory, he's not opposed to the players getting compensated, but it comes with it all kinds of foreseen consequences and unintended or unforeseen consequences. And while right now the race is early and many programs and schools are able to keep up their sprint, it's not going to be long before a number of them get exhausted and have to say, well, I don't know if we can keep doing this. He also said because there is now the rev share portion from the NCAA, a lot of, you know, otherwise donors sometimes think, well, you got the rev share, you don't need my money. Why are you asking me for more of my money? You got it from the rev share. And this, again, was something that I and others predicted from the very start, which is, oh, yeah, just because they put a number of $20 million or whatever it is, and it's probably going to go up from here, on this is what we're going to give schools to pay their athletes in sports that they want to pay them in. You make the call. Other schools are going to start funneling more money in on top of that. And that's what's happening. And that's why, you know, that's why it is getting more and more expensive. And I also asked the obvious question, which is it tough as a Maryland fan or as it tough as a person with the university to see Indiana and Kurt Cignetti do so well? He said, yeah, because he drove right past us on his way to Indiana. But the thing that I believe about guys like Cignetti and others, he's hot now. He's obviously a very good coach, great coach. Just Google him. What is his secret sauce? Don't anyone for a second think that these guys are going to always be winning and that they're not going to fall into a ditch or get a bad, I don't want to say recruiting cycle, but, you know, a bad batch of college free agents. I don't believe there is any great new tricks under the sun in terms of coaching football that somehow only Kurt Cignetti has, so he's able to turn a otherwise backwater football program like Indiana into a power all of a sudden. He's doing something right, but I don't know what there is. It takes a university president who's committed to football as a thing, and it takes an AD who is either smart, and that's a very small subset of ADs who are glorified gym teachers, or it takes an AD that knows how to get the fuck out of the way for the people that know what they're doing. But anyway, that was the side story with Troy. Troy found out on the fourth hole, I believe, that his wife had just landed from a business trip coming back from Houston at Reagan National, and that the plane was being detained before going to the gate because law enforcement was coming out to assess a potential threat on board. Well, it turns out this was a pretty big story nationally because, they shut down the airspace in D.C. There was heavy SWAT presence. I mean, she said it was crazy seeing these guys with guns, big guns, pointed at the airplane and then getting on board to get every passenger off, divert them to the United Lounge, and then hold them there and interrogate them before letting people go one by one. Turns out that, well, apparently the bomb threat or whatever was a hoax or it was a false alarm, so nothing happened. But here's the real kicker. Troy looks at me and he goes, oh my God, I'm never going to fly again. And I said, why? He goes, my wife is already extremely nervous as a flyer. And therefore, this only adds to her existing psychological torture.
He said, we drive down to Sea Island where we go vacation. You know, we drive everywhere we go on vacation because she just doesn't like to fly. And I'm like, man, bro, this is a tough one. You're already a nervous flyer, and now you happen to lose the lottery of you're on a flight that has a bomb threat that requires full police SWAT boarding and segregation to determine the threat. Now, never mind that one could argue, okay, well, look, honey, if the plane's on the ground and a guy might have a bomb, either the bomb don't work or he's changed his mind. Not that a bomber would change his mind, but like, think about it. If he had a bomb, he would have blown it up midair. I mean, come on. I believe our host Danny also said, yeah, and what's with the guys and the guns? If the bomb goes off, what are they going to do then? And I said, I don't know, shoot the wreckage. I know it's overkill, but you can't afford to not be fully vigilant. But I feel so bad for his wife, and I feel bad for Troy, who's like, oh boy, all right, well, let's cross Europe off the list because we're not going to fly. And the weirdest thing, and I told him this, I said, I have great empathy for people who are nervous flyers or more than nervous flyers. I have great empathy. I just don't, it doesn't resonate with me because I never get nervous flying. I never worry about the plane crashing. Can you hear me knocking on wood right now, by the way? I'm not trying to tempt the gods. I have said on numbers of occasions here on this podcast that I am an avid watcher of almost every airplane crash documentary known to man. I could probably recite them all by flight number. The ones that went nose dart into the ground, the others that limped in and, you know, barely survived and half the people died, half the people didn't. Some miraculous landings and some incredibly stupid screw-ups that cost a lot of people their lives. That stuff fascinates me, and I watch it, and it doesn't affect me at all. It doesn't make me more nervous to fly. And I'm not humble bragging, like, look how tough and macho I am. I'm not. I'm scared of lots of things. Yeah, like a vegetable. Okay, fair point. But as far as airplane travel, that's just not it. So, yeah. Not a great day for Troy. And then on top of it, he said, well, I'm here golfing 45 miles outside of D.C. and past the airport. My wife is being detained by the FBI after this bomb threat, and I'm just going to keep playing around. He said his phone blew up with all kind of like 36 text messages, and it was his wife and their two sons texting about it, and he didn't get the messages for like a hole or two later. So he looked like even more of a heel. And then he hadn't heard from his wife by the time we got done and had a few cocktails at the club. And he was like, well, I'm not sure what I'm going home to, but I guess I'm about to find out because I really haven't heard from my wife in a while. He said, you know, maybe she's happy. Maybe she's mad. Maybe she's still shook. I go, let me take happy. Let me take that off the board. I don't think you're going home to that, whatever it is. That said, the course is amazing. And, thank you, Danny, for taking me out there and having us. CJ was out there for the first round as a new dad. Chris Johnson from the Capital Golf Gang. The greens were so fast. The fastest, firmest, smoothest, most perfectest greens I've ever putted on. And quite undulating. They were truly Augusta-like. They were like 13-plus on the stimp. Had never putted on greens that fast. So, good day. Squeezing out the last of the golf season in the DMV before winter truly comes. Not that I won't play during the winter, but still. This was kind of like one of the last best days. Before I get to Charch and the trade deadline deals that happened, some mop-ups from a few days ago. So remember when the Ravens completely lied about the status of Lamar Jackson and claimed he was a full participant in practice when in fact he only took scout team reps? As if that's going to do anything. And remember when some of us, I don't think I said this, but some of us thought that maybe they'd get docked a draft pick child, please. The NFL announced on Friday they would be fining the Ravens organization $100,000. $100,000. That's it. The whole organization. That is truly parking ticket money. No, not even parking ticket money. That is couch cushion money. Coins wedged between pillows that you didn't even know exists. Money. So if you were hoping the NFL would find some integrity and say, we can't have this. The point spread moved 5 points. The line moved 5 points. We can't have this. We're partners with all these drafts. No, they don't care. Also, Halloween and coaches. Interesting thing. Apparently, Matt LaFleur was asked about Halloween Friday before their game against Carolina. A game they lost, by the way, and wiped out a huge additional chunk of survivor pool entrance in whatever pool you are in. Because it was the largest spread on the board last week, 13.5. I'm sure a lot of people now by week 9 have been keeping a good team like Green Bay in their back pocket. They've probably been looking ahead like, hey, this soft spot here, home against Carolina, that's the one. We're going to pull them out, use our Packer ticket here. Wipe out. But before the game, because Halloween was Friday, LaFleur was asked about Halloween, and he gave a very fake, tough guy answer of, man, I don't give a crap about Halloween. I'm trying to win a game on Sunday. Okay, tough guy. Part of the reason that this is a joke is that there is a very famous viral video, before videos could go viral, of Don Beebe. When it was a Don Beebe, I think it might have been Don Beebe, dressing up as a trick-or-treater and knocking on head coach Mike Holmgren's door on Halloween before, you know, getting Holmgren to like overreact because I guess Beebe had harassed him for more candy or something. And it is one of the all-time great little, you know, interesting pieces of video, not on the football field itself, that lives on in Packers. Oh, here it is right here. Yeah. Brett Favre. Oh, no. Yeah. Don Beebe, Favre, and Frank Winters, their center, went trick-or-treating at Mike Holmgren's house.
Put it on, babe.
He puts on a football player mask. Favre has his own Favre jersey on.
Next one.
Don, what are you doing here?
What?
Tell me what you're doing.
This part of the small town charm of Green Bay, Wisconsin, that players would just be able to go to the coach's neighborhood.
Hold on, guys.
Hey, is that Gil's car?
Hey.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, what's his band again?
Big Bop in the Chop. Big Bop in the Chop.
I can't see anything.
I can't see anything, says Baby. All right, here we go.
All right.
So there's four little kids in front of them, and then there's the Packers.
Would you guys open up?
Trick or treat!
You know, you're not even going to believe this, but we just gave out our last piece of candy. I am sorry, Gabe. I am so sorry. I like your outfit, so, and you're also beautiful. Not you, necessarily.
Well, you don't like me?
I'm sorry.
Please?
I'm sorry. We just gave out our last piece. We have boxed bags of them.
Please?
See you guys.
What if I said I was Don Beebe?
See ya.
Or Brett Favre? No?
I'm sorry. We didn't have none left. Bye-bye, honey.
Don't you want any?
Well, no.
I guess if you don't have none.
Bye-bye.
Please?
Wait, please?
Holmgren's trying to get rid of him.
Left. See ya.
Give us
where's,
up
where's,
now.
Mr. Gill?
Huh?
Mr. Gill.
Oh, Jesus.
Get out no of here. Candy?
Look at this. Well, wait a minute.
I was going to say, wait, what are you
but
getting?
Where are all these little kids going to?
These are all our kids.
Really?
What if I can
we just get...
It's a classic. By the way, BB was wearing Favre's jersey. Favre was wearing BB's jersey. Oh, classic. But no, Matt LaFleur is just too serious about football. I don't have time for Halloween. The Packers that year went 13-3, 2008. Pretty good season for the Packers. And yes, Halloween was had, and Holmgren got duped and pranked by Brett Favre and his teammates. Also, it should be noted to Matt LaFleur, noted tough guy who doesn't care about Halloween because he's too focused on the game plan, that the great Bill Belichick not only went to a Halloween party, but it was a Halloween party at a roller rink in which he dressed up as a pirate. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the year they went 17-0. So you can still enjoy and have fun for a few hours on Halloween, Matt LaFleur, and still prepare to go play a game on Sunday. And maybe next time, win a game. To me, that was the Kit Kat karma speaking right there. Don't diss Halloween. Take a few minutes, be a real person, lighten up, Francis, and call better plays and have your team prepared against a 13.5 point underdog. Quick break when we come back. Paul Charchian talking about the NFL trade deadline, which was a poppin' and a hoppin' as the Jets have stockpiled a ton of picks. You are listening to the Zabecast.
You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, it was a glorious day, Charge, for me to be on the golf course in early November in the DMV, and I don't regret any of it, but the trades that I was hearing about on the group chat, I could not believe my ears. Two number ones for Sauce Gardner? Quinnen Williams, a number one and a number two for him? Pow-pow, pow-pow. What a deadline we had. How you doing, bud?
I love it. And, you know, I love the trade activity. You know who made it okay to trade?
Who made it okay?
Bill Belichick. Really? Bill Belichick. Remember, this league was notorious.
What year was it that he opened the floodgates?
I'm going to say about 6-7 years ago, he made it okay. Nobody, there was never any trades.
I remember how boring and shitty and non-eventful the old trade deadline was. And now...
Yes.
It wasn't even expected to be that robust of a trade deadline. There was a couple of pieces. Trey Hendrickson was the number one guy everyone thought would be moved. He wasn't. Breece Hall was not moved. So, yes. Yeah, you got to shake your head. So, the Jets now have, Charge, 5 first round picks in the next 2 drafts. And I know what people are saying already. Well, they could fuck up a 2-car parade. So don't think that they're going to do anything great with those 5 picks. Do we know, Charge, if any team has had 5 ones in a 2-year stretch ever? I'll look it up. If you don't know it offhand, I'll look it up.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know for sure that anybody has. I mean, I'm thinking of the Bears just got all of those picks out of the deal with Bryce Young, but I don't think it totaled.
I don't think it added up to five in 2 years.
Five ones.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot. I mean, this is the full system reboot for the Jets, and I can understand why they're doing it. I think it's weird that they got rid of two of the better young talents in the league. I mean, Sauce Gardner is really, really good. And yeah, he's not quite as dominating this year as he had been in previous years, but also because they got rid of the cornerbacks next to him, Michael Carter and DJ Reed. And so I found that kind of odd, but I kind of love it for Indy because they're going all in.
They're going for it.
They realize they got something special right now. And they're like, you know what? We've got a chance right now. The AFC feels a little wobblier than it has been. Here they are sitting with I think 7-2 right now, right? Your Colts.
I think the AFC has two teams we all expect, and they played each other on Sunday, Bills and Chiefs. And then a bunch of other, I want to believe a bit more. Indy, New England, Denver maybe. Anyone from the South do you feel, other than Indy, do you feel really good about? No. So the AFC is kind of weak. By the way, Gronk has weighed in. Gronk. Gronk says, because I just quickly typed in, has any team acquired 5 first-round picks in a 2-year span? And I forgot to mention NFL. But don't worry. Gronk is on the case. Gronk says, don't worry, buddy. I got you. NBA. Yes, several teams have acquired 5 or more first-round picks across 2 consecutive drafts. NFL, though, no. No NFL team has ever acquired 5 first-round picks across a 2-year span. The maximum achieved is 4, which has happened multiple times through a combination of a team's own selections and trades. You want to hear the 4 teams that had the 4-pack of first-round bangers? They all came in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, 22-23. Chicago, 23-24. The Jets in 22-23 had 4.
Let's see what they did with those. I'm going to go look it up right now.
I think at least one of them was Sauce Gardner. So they come and then they go. And the other one was the Carolina Panthers from 23-24.
Unbelievable.
You want to know the max? You want to know the max in a single year?
Do tell.
4.
Some team had 4 in 1 year?
The Eagles in 2022 and the Browns in 1999.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So here's your answer to the Jets, who had 5. They had 5 first round picks across 2 seasons, as you mentioned, 2021 and 2022. One of them was Sauce Gardner.
Ding,
they
ding,
also
ding.
Got Garrett. They got Garrett Wilson. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
They whiffed on somebody called Jermaine Johnson, the second, a linebacker. That didn't work out. They whiffed on Zach Wilson. And then they got a partial hit on Elijah Vera Tucker, the guard, who's missed this whole year with injury. So the Jets didn't Jets it that badly with the 5 picks. They got 2.5. Right out of 5. That's by Jets standards, that's an outstanding stretch.
Yeah. So in the Cowboys trade for Quinn and Williams, they get the hire of Dallas's 2 first round picks next year. So they poach the pick of the litter from Dallas. They get a second rounder next year, and they also get a warm body in defensive tackle Mazi Smith. So there's that. I don't think it's a great trade. I think Quinn Williams is good. I don't think he's as good as he's hyped up to be, and he's not super young anymore. He's been in the league now for 5 years, I want to say.
5 years, yeah. Okay, about that. Yeah.
And you're just throwing more assets into a black hole defensively. They're just so bad defensively. I believe, and I'm not a football expert, Charge. I'm just a dick on the couch like you are and everyone else. Well, hey, why you call him a dick? He's a nice guy. I'm just a guy on the couch like anyone else. To me, the Cowboys' defensive problems are far more than just pass rush or stopping the run. It is on the back end as well. They look like the most disorganized unit you've ever seen.
They are on pace. The Dallas Cowboys this year are on pace to be the NFL record holders in yards allowed in a season and points allowed in a season. They just elevated Jacoby Brissett to starter status. He is the definition of journeyman. Jacoby Brissett.
You're saying the Cowboys, for those that are not clear, the Cowboys being as bad as they are and letting Jacoby Brissett and Maserati Marv, more on him in a second, carve them up. That was enough to then get the Cardinals today on trade deadline day to say, yeah, we're going to keep Jacoby in the driver's seat as Kyler Murray continues to rehab his ankle. Where have we heard that one before, George?
Oh, well, this is a soft benching. JJ McCarthy was not a soft benching. You know how much that contract with Kyler Murray, that contract extension that everybody knew at the time was a bad idea. And, you know, there was virtually nobody standing up going, yep, boy, Cardinals sure locked up the quarterback position for the next 5 years. Kyler Murray next year, $36 million guaranteed.
Oh my
year God. After that, almost $20 million guaranteed. It is a that is a sizable loss if they decide that they can't go forward with Kyler Murray next year. And that seems to be where they're headed right now.
Remember when they had to put in study clauses to his contract because they worried that he was playing too much Call of Duty? Like that should have been the biggest red flag to, yeah, no, we're not paying this guy a bunch of money. But why did they pay him a bunch of money? That's a good question. I have thoughts.
Well, they did. Yes,
but you go first. I have thoughts, though.
Desperation at the position. You know, any team that finds competency at the quarterback position is inclined to keep it, especially if you haven't had competency, which they hadn't had since like Kurt Warner.
Okay.
You know, when you're flailing around with, you know, a bunch of third string quarterbacks, which Stoney Case, I don't know, guys like that. I'm trying to think of famous failed Cardinals quarterbacks in recent years. You know, then Kyler Murray looks pretty good. And you're like, well, okay, do we want to start over at the quarterback position or are we going to double down? And more often than not, teams will double down on the guy that they got. Sometimes they should have. Viking fans are wondering if Sam Darnold should still be a Viking. Should they have just held with the guy that they knew was good? But yes, I think that's my take on it. Okay. What is yours?
My take is that, well, it's a couple fold. One is having a quarterback in the league now is so necessary, meaning a true franchise or quarterback one, as I call it, that it's a binary proposition. So there's really no shades of gray. Either you're in and then you're all in on a deal that is teeth rattlingly expensive, or you're out. And the cost of being out has so much more baked into it that accounts for why these guys get paid so much. It's the notion of voluntarily walking out into the wilderness to look for another QB, which could take a decade or longer, and it exposes the franchise to ridicule. And franchises and GMs and owners and coaches, they all fear ridicule from their peers, whether they admit it or not. I'm firmly convinced of this, Church. They are so sensitive to, you know, not looking like dummies that they are unwilling to bet the don't pass line sometimes. And that's the actual smarter bet sometimes. And then there's two other reasons why they paid Kyler Murray a lot of money. Highlights, and he's black. I'll just say it as simply as I can. The backlash about you let the black man go, well, you didn't want to pay him? You want to play this? Because you and I can say, well, look at all the black quarterbacks there are in the league right now and look at how much money they're
all getting paid. That is what I'm thinking right now. Okay. That's why I don't think that's valid.
Okay. You and I say that. Do you see what Stephen A. Smith and Ryan Clark do on ESPN on a regular basis? They invoked the race thing on the Chris Greer firing in Miami.
He was in the organization for 26 years.
And he sucked.
They still want that. That's all Ryan Clark has.
I know. Oh. I know, but Stephen A. Smith is also willing to go that route. And so it's a smaller thing. The bigger thing is that Kyler Murray showed flashes. The highlight play of him with the Hail Mary where he's like leaning. Who did he complete it to? I forget that incredible play where he dodges three guys and he yeets it. You know the play I'm talking about?
I don't remember that play, although I'll guess Larry Fitzgerald, if he was still, you know, I think.
No,
that,
he,
I
no, think they didn't.
He was already gone.
Did they overlap Kyler Murray and Fitzgerald?
No, not sure.
Okay. I'll find the play for you. DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh yeah. DeAndre Hopkins, of course.
Okay. This was Buffalo 30, Arizona 26, 11 seconds left
Murray,
in the game.
Out of the pocket.
Here's the
highlight. They overlapped a lot, by the way.
Yeah. Six here, Murray, you can't hear this. So there it was to win the game. Highlights have powerful significance to GMs and coaches, even if in their brain they know better. Like, well, that's one play. It's a great play, but he's not doing this to make our offense go. He can't do that to make us operate efficiently. They're always thinking about, well, the fans are going to lose their mind. Look, did you see the highlight of him throwing that Hail Mary? So, but the good news for, I think, Cardinal fans is that, you know what? Whatever the number is, you're going to pay the freight, you're going to absorb the tax, and you're going to keep her moving.
Move on. Keep her moving. You know who's not is the Colts. You know what they did by sending those first round picks? They also doubled down on Daniel Jones. They decided they are not looking for a quarterback in the first round, and they weren't going to be drafting in the, you know, towards the front of the first round anyway.
Right.
But that was the tacit endorsement of Daniel Jones that went down with the Sauce Gardner trade. And who's unhappy about this? I think it's one of the great stories that Daniel Jones has resurrected his career after everything he went through with the Giants, after being blamed for so many things. To have Daniel Jones now have the Colts on a potential Super Bowl trajectory and having a team double down on him again, it's a great story. I'm rooting for him. I hope it works out.
All right, more topics from Charge tonight, and I appreciate you bringing stuff to the table. It's always fun. This one is, did you bend the knee to ESPN for Monday Night Football? I'm a YouTube TV subscriber, as are you. That's my primary method of getting television, but I still have DirecTV. That has the basic package.
Why have both? What are you doing, my man?
Opulence. Jeez. I has it. the wife said, I'm just not comfortable with the whole streaming and the, I don't get, you know.
Okay.
And so I said, so I actually called DirecTV and I was like, cancel. And I got bounced up three or four different rungs of customer retention. And they finally said, okay, how about this? Basic plan, this much money, these many receivers. And it was like $80 a month. I'm like, fine, keep it.
All right.
Happy wife, happy life, as they say. So there you go. So I had ESPN on my DirecTV, but my 5-hour energy dome is all YouTube TV. The bar TV is all YouTube. The only place that DirecTV still lives is in my golf sim room. So I went to watch it in there. But a good part of the night when I was working at my desk upstairs, I couldn't keep Monday Night Football in the background. And it was very weird, Church, because I cannot remember the last time on a Monday night in football season I wasn't either actively watching the game or having it on in the background as I worked. What about you?
Well, I decided to... Now, I was hoping that I would get the loophole would exist with YouTube TV, that it would be on my local ABC channel, but they're out too, because obviously ABC is part of the Disney ESPN conglomerate.
Right.
So
also, isn't your local Utah affiliate in Orem halfway across the state?
I get Salt Lake City News, which is 3.5 hours away. I mean, that's the equivalent of you getting, I don't know, like Philly News or something, right?
Right.
So, what we did is we put up the old rabbit ears, put up the over-the-air antenna,
glorious,
just like Grandpa did, and we pulled in our local stations. It was, for the most part, a flawless exercise. It was easy. It all worked. And the picture quality, not half bad. If I were to guess, I would guess that it's my over-the-air is being broadcast at 720p, which is an acceptable minimal level of resolution. It's not ideal.
Right.
Now, The bigger story, I believe, out of this whole fiasco with ESPN and YouTube TV is pushing everybody to pirate sites. That is what my Twitter feed was filled with, was all the pirate sites and people that otherwise would never have gone to pirate sites and didn't even know they existed.
It arrg, all became arrg, very matey. Prevalent. Arrg, matey, you want some free television? Arrg. Well, it's not free. Arrg. It's going to cost you a couple hundred. Arrg. You're going to buy a box off of Amazon. Arrg. It's going to be from China. Arrg.
Yes, that is a whole different thing. Now, there is the boxes that are streaming boxes that do cost a few hundred bucks, and those will get I've learned more about this in the last week. Those will get basically every channel in the world. You want to watch Russian TV? They got it. You want to watch Chechen TV? They got that.
I don't want to watch those. Channel. I don't need to watch those. Although I bet Russian TV has professional slap fighting. Have you seen that?
Oh, I have. That's badass. And that would be amazing. Just like Russia to have that.
Flap! Flap! Oh.
I would think it would get old watching that, but at some point, but I don't think it has. So I think the pirates are the big winner so far. If through 3 days of this lockout or whatever, I think pirate TV is ultimately the big winner out of this whole thing. I did not bend the knee and subscribe to ESPN Plus, and I don't plan to.
Fuck no. And people that did subscribe to the so-called ESPN Unlimited app quickly found out that there are limits, such as, you're already streaming on 3 different devices. You're at your maximum. I thought this was unlimited ESPN. That sounds like a limit to me. Also, people said the app was clunky and didn't allow for things like quad boxing. See, that's the other part of it. Like, people are already annoyed by the fact that, the Thursday games live over in a different silo on your streaming TV.
I wanted Amazon to watch Prime. like a normal person, a normal sports fan, on Thursday night, I wanted to watch Thursday night football and the World Series. That seems like something reasonably I want to have in 2 boxes on my TV. No can do, because Amazon Prime is its own thing and you cannot have a second screen. And I don't know why not. I should be able to fire up on my Roku. I should be able to fire up Prime on one side and fire up something else on the other side, YouTube TV or whatever I want. That seems like a very reasonable request.
They've broken sports TV, and I don't know when it's going to get fixed. And I worry now, because the ESPN YouTube TV debate, but the standoff has crossed the Rubicon of Monday Night Football. I almost feel like we're like Tom Hanks past the breakers in Castaway, out on the open ocean now. Because what impetus is there to bring it back? Although I did see where apparently Disney implored YouTube TV to add them for one night for election results, because the public deserves to be informed.
People deserve to know.
We deserve to see what our fantasy teams are doing on Monday Night Football.
That's more important to many of us, if we're just being honest, especially in an off year. That is very fair.
Tom Brady cloned his dog. Of course he did, Charge. Of course he did.
I don't have a problem with that. I would, if you go back through your best pets, wouldn't you want the best pet you've ever had to be back?
Well, can you tell me, has he resurrected his old dog from the cloning?
No, it's not the Walking Dead. I mean, it's not how it works. You get a DNA match of your previous dog. You don't dig up your old dog and bring him back to life.
I know, but Tom Brady reveals his dog Junie was cloned from beloved pet Lua, who died in 2023. The dog appears to be, what is the breed of this dog?
I just saw the picture. I don't know.
I mean, it has to be, they're dire wolf pups. Or no.
Are they?
No, I'm sorry. Hold on. Brady shared the news on Tuesday, coinciding with an announcement from Colossal Pitbull Mix. Okay. coinciding with the announcement from Colossal Biosciences, a biotech company that Brady's an investor in.
Funny.
Of course he is.
Of course, yes. Why not? What dog would you bring? Now, my understanding, by the way, and I think this is the most fascinating part of the whole pet cloning process. The dogs aren't the same personality.
No.
You get different personalities based on their lived experience, how you raise them, all the other stuff. Their dogs, the people that have done this say, it's not the same. It doesn't act the same. It's not the same dog twice.
Yeah. This is our first dog, Tucker, and he's getting up there in years. He's got some health issues going on right now, and we love that boy more than anything. But this is our first dog as a family, so I can't say, well, I'd bring back X pet. The only other pet we had was as a kid. We had a stray brown mutt named Brownie. Because, what a creative name that is for a stray dog.
Yes.
And the family lore is that my mom, who did not care for having the dog, had my dad take the dog out to Manassas, some 40 miles out of McLean, and just gently let him out the door. That's the urban legend. And my mom and my dad, when he was alive, insisted that Brownie left us as he had come to us, as just a stray dog, that he went and he strayed yet again. Nobody knows. Charge, it's one of the all-time Zabin family cold cases that'll never get solved.
I've got one of those too. When I was in, 6 years old, living in St. Paul, in an area of town now where you would not live. We had a dog aptly named Boondoggle. And Boondoggle was my mom brought home Boondoggle without talking to my dad. And my dad was surprised to find out when he came home from a work trip that we now owned a dog. And my dad helped name him Boondoggle. And a few months later, Boondoggle ran away from our apartment and was never seen again. And my parents to this day will not fess up, even to their grown children, what actually happened to Boondoggle, where he went, what happened to him. The dog I would bring back, we had a Pekingese growing up.
Wow.
And this Pekingese was named Spike. He was about 7 pounds of tongue wagging, licking fury. And Spike met an early demise when one day he was chained up in our yard, leashed, collared up in our yard. Somebody was walking by with their dog, not on a leash. And the dog attacked Spike, Pekingese, 7 pounds, killed him.
Oh man.
I'd like to have that dog back. Yeah. Spike was a good dog.
That's a tough one right there. All right. You're going out to dinner right now. Thank you for giving me a good 26 minutes. I rushed home from the golf course. Are you going with a couple out from Atkinville, Utah, or perhaps somebody from Devil's Playground or Middleton or Santa Clara, Utah? I'm zooming in on the map right here.
Yes. Wow, that is outstanding.
And by the way, this Sun River development is insane. It is a blob gorgeous. Of townhomes jammed together just across the Utah-Nevada border.
This is where it's because there's no income tax in Nevada. So everybody wants to have a Utah lifestyle.
Yeah.
Utah's taxes are good. They're just not zero. But if you'd like to pay zero income tax, you go there or you go to Mesquite, Nevada, where they've got 4 casinos and it's all built up. All golfing.
Yeah, and Sun River has a golf club there as well. So, all right, Charge, as always, Fantasy Football Weekly. Get it wherever you get your podcasts and make good, smart decisions with your fantasy football team. We'll talk next week.
Sounds great.
Yeah, right? Okay. We agreed to say that, but take off.
Let's end on this. Remember we had on Chris McNeil, who on Twitter goes by reflog_18, which is a golfer spelled backwards. Chris is great. He's got an incredible sense of humor. And when he puts out a tweet, he seldom misses the mark with his wit and insight. But he's a huge Browns fan, being from Cleveland. And he tweeted the other day that with the proposed pricing, this is just proposed pricing, at the new Cleveland Browns stadium, which was approved, and then like 2 days later, I saw a story. They said, whoa, hold on, there's another snag in this new stadium. They also originally had built it something like 53 feet too tall, and it was going to violate FAA height regulations because it was in the flight path of the airport, so that was going to be an issue. Either way, he says, with the proposed pricing of the new Brown Stadium, my six tickets in section 310 will go from $24,600, which is what he pays for bad football that has been bad for a long time, that shows no signs of getting better anytime soon. $24,600 for six tickets. He said the proposed pricing will jack those up to $131,000 in year one with a PSL or private seat license. Also, parking goes from $300 a year to $1,800. Wow. I think he said that if these are the indeed prices, I'm out. We'll have to loop back and have him on the show again in a couple months to see where we stand on this. He did say that he's going to reinvest his money in the Cleveland Cavaliers and their season tickets because they treat their fans a whole lot better. The NFL does not give a fuck about you that goes to the stadium, roots for the home team, and puts up with all the shit you have to put up with. No, they don't care. They're going to gouge some more, gouge harder, gouge with a smile on their face until you cry uncle or say, you know what, I'm out. That's an insane spike in prices. And I'm sure they'll have some rationale like, well, with a new stadium, you're 24 rows lower and you've got better sight lines and there's this amenity and there's a lounge you have access to. Yeah, no, 24 grand was already a huge waste of money per year. 131 is bonkers. And the parking. Parking from 300 to 1,800. Fuck you. Of course, he said with the proposed pricing. And I tweeted him going, just remember, my friend, it's proposed. The actual price could be even higher. So just keep that in mind. All right, that's enough of me for today. And Charge, thank you so much for listening and downloading and being part of the Zabecast Nation. As always, I appreciate you rating and reviewing on your favorite podcast app that helps tickle the algorithmic overlords. And if you can spare 5 stars, it costs the same as 4 stars. It's free. And I would really appreciate that. And of course, if you told a friend or two, like, hey, I know there's a million podcasts out there, but I need one that's fun, intelligent, covers a lot of things. Here's a guy you might like, his personality, his little foibles, his own hang-ups, his satellite of friends and contributors. You should give him a listen. Zabe, if you do that, super appreciative. And as always, you can subscribe to Fridays as well, and you can get this product the Monday through Thursday ad-free for a mere $5 a month. That's what it started at 7 years ago. It's not gone up since. It'll never go up as long as I'm doing it. That's a fair price. And I appreciate it very much. You can also get 12 months for the price of 11 when you sign up for a year. Makes a great holiday gift. Go to zabe.com/premium for more information or just email me and I'll get you sent to the right place. Have yourself a wonderful Wednesday and we will see you next time.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.